Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's NBA tip-off week, and FanDuel is your home for live betting. So even if you missed the start of the game or want to ride the hot hand, FanDuel has live bets on everything from who will score next to fourth quarter comebacks. Plus, you can even combine your live bets into a same-game parlay for a shot at a bigger payout. However you want to play, now is the perfect time to join, because FanDuel is giving new customers $300 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to sign up today. Play your game with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Your perfect style is more than a fit. It's a feeling. When you step into Maurice's, our stylists are dedicated to helping you find the perfect outfit. Shop in-store or Maurice's.com for new items arriving daily and holiday flash deals. Maurice's, that styled feeling.
Rinse takes your laundry and hand-delivers it to your door, expertly cleaned and folded, so you could take the time once spent folding and sorting and waiting to finally pursue a whole new version of you. Like tea time you.
Mmm.
Or this tea time you. Or even this tea time you.
Said you hear about Dave.
Or even tea time you.
Mmm. So update on Dave.
It's up to you. We'll take the laundry. Rinse. It's time to be great.
It's time for...
Here we go.
Kickoff.
Wait, do it!
With Boomer Esiason and Mike Valenti.
Gentlemen, week 12 kickoff with Boomer and Valenti. Booms, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mike, it's so great to talk to you as we enter into week 12. Now, this week on New York radio station WFAN, I called this ramification weekend in the NFL, and it started with an amazing game down in Houston, and certainly the ramifications for that are now that the Houston Texans are back in the playoff hunt and the Buffalo Bills are going the other way. So another really important weekend when we get down to it, and can't wait for it.
No, I dig it. And I want to talk in the context of concern levels. Like, it's okay to have concerns. Even the best teams can have a concern. Certain teams, though, I thought it was illuminating last weekend. So go ahead. We'll start with last night. I mean, it's praise and slander. Start with the good. We'll start on a good foot. What D'Amico Ryans is doing is remarkable. What that defense is doing, it's old school. They're completely carrying the entire franchise. Stroud should be back in 10 days. Last night was one of the greatest front four pass rush games I've ever seen. I mean, that's Josh Allen back there, right? Like, I wasn't hallucinating. That wasn't Jeff Hostetler. Like, that was Josh Allen. Remarkable.
You know, back in the day, we used to play in the Houston Astrodome. I never won a game there. I think I'm 0-9 against the Houston Oilers in that building. And it was tough because they always had a great pass rush, and that's exactly what Josh Allen faced last night against the Texans. And I felt bad for him because I felt like it was going to happen. And, you know, when you're talking about the best defense in football that has been carrying that team, but you also have to have an insurance policy. And that insurance policy happens to be Davis Mills. And Davis Mills has been down there for, what, the last 4 or 5 years? He knows the system. He knows the team. The coaches like him. The players like him. He's a great teammate to C.J. Stroud. He's a great sounding board. And all he's done is won 3 games in a row for them. And that's the insurance policy that every team could hope that they have. Just give me a guy that doesn't turn the ball over. Give me a guy that's going to make a play every now and again on a third down. It's not always going to be pretty, but it's not going to be mistake prone. And he can get everybody lined up in the right spots on offense and make all the checks at the line of scrimmage. So Davis Mills deserves a lot of credit. So does D'Amico Ryans. We've got a lot of games left to be played, but that AFC South is going to be really interesting, especially given where the Colts are this weekend, which we will talk about in the second segment.
Yeah, go to the slander for a second. Let's talk Bills. You've known, anyone who listens to the show knows, I'm not a Sean McDermott guy. This Bills team now, though, the concern beyond is McDermott the guy to get him over the hump. They're just not winning at the line of scrimmage either way, offensive or defensive line. And Boomer, I think it's finally catching up. We've always kind of joked about, well, they don't have a lot of great receivers, but Josh Allen can get it through. When you look at the snap count of who was on that field for Josh Allen, I mean, it's kind of malfeasance when you think about it. Like, asking Josh Allen to work with what? Now, I know Kincaid was hurt, but the wide receivers, you can't win games when Khalil Shakir is your best guy. You can't.
Well, I mean, they invested in Keon Coleman. So what's going on there? I mean, that kid's got all sorts of issues, and that, you know, they didn't play him last night.
He's a goof. He's a goofball. But he's been like that since college, though.
I know that, but he was supposed to be the guy. He was supposed to be the guy that was going to take Diggs' place, and he was going to be the big play receiver, and they're having all sorts of issues with him, missing meetings. You know, and Sean McDermott's got to make tough decisions. You know, some coaches will let things slide. They'll find guys, but they'll let the guys play. Other coaches sometimes get pushed to the brink where they say, you know what, enough is enough. The team is too important, and this individual player isn't doing what everybody else is doing, so I am not going to reward him by letting him play. So I think that's part of the problem there. Also, a huge loss for them that goes unspoken about is Ed Oliver. You know, he hurt his biceps. I don't think he's going to make it back. Maybe if they make the playoffs. But all of a sudden, the interior of that defensive line is getting shredded. So I was not surprised by this outcome at all on Thursday night. I thought that the Buffalo Bills were walking into a trap. And certainly, I think after 8 sacks and many hits and 2 interceptions, Josh Allen basically validated that for me.
Yeah, concern level to me is high to very high for Buffalo. And I'm not even talking about the Super Bowl or the division. I'm concerned about the playoffs.
Yeah, I still think, like, he's a player that can beat any team. Now, he's got to be Superman for sure. And we've seen him put on that cape so many different times. I don't know. If they get Ed Oliver back, maybe they would be better. But, again, I'm not counting on that. I mean, they're going to have to go into the playoffs with what they have, and, you know, do they get anything out of Keon Coleman moving forward from this point on? And if you take a look at their schedule is tough. I mean, they could be a 9-8 team. I don't know if that will be enough to get them in the playoffs in the AFC, but both they and the Chiefs are like hanging on by a thread right now.
Let's hit the rundown. Chiefs are a part of it.
The NFL rundown.
Let's start out west. It was our game of the week. Rams win. They didn't get the cover, though, of course. They had to bust our chops. But look, they hang on. They get a huge win. And the Rams can win any style of game you want. They can win a defensive struggle. They can win a shootout. They can do it through the air. They can do it on the ground. To me, that's what makes them Super Bowl good. I wanted your takeaway from the Rams, and then I want to know if we can get you to join the movement. You can't win big games with Sam Darnold. Come on, Boomer.
Okay, well, the Rams, I'm definitely in lockstep with you. And, you know, obviously you have a quarterback that is one of the two odds-on favorites to win the NFL MVP this year, Matthew Stafford. You know what makes them really good is that they're physical. And what makes a team physical? It is run first. Even though they have Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua and they have these tight ends, I mean, when they go into their 13 personnel package, 3 tight ends on the field, you know, it's a smash and grab type of thing. You know, they want to smash you and just run past you. And this is a team that has all the physicality that you need, even though they play indoors and even though they're a warm weather city team, they can beat you outdoors, you know, anywhere in the NFL. So one of the best balanced teams, no question. A tremendous coach. I love how aggressive he is and how aggressive, you know, and how much he trusts his quarterback. So, yeah, I'm with you there. Now, as far as the Seattle Seahawks are concerned, you know, I love the way that a number of his teammates reacted after the 4 interception performance by Sam Darnold. They said, he's our leader. He's the guy that's gotten us here. You know, we're not turning our back on our quarterback. And I said, you know what? I want those guys as my teammate when I have a bad game like that. So I think, yes, I'm not going to join any club of yours that's going to disparage any of these players. I'm just going to tell you that he does need to be playing better in bigger games. But, you know, we'll find out this week whether he bounced back. And that's what I expect him to do.
When they lose wild card weekend, I'll get you there. Don't you worry. There'll be a nice seat right next to Nona. Don't you worry.
Okay.
All right, let's get to Philly. The Eagles win Well, oh, dear. Can we just start with the coaching malpractice before we break the game down? What the hell is wrong with Nick Sirianni?
I don't know, but
doing.
I don't know, but here's the thing I love about this particular game. How many tush-push plays had penalties called on them or didn't work? I think they were 1-4 on tush-push plays plus 2 false start penalties.
Yes, it was my dream. It's like I scripted it. But towards the end of the game, you're up by 10. The Lions couldn't punch their way out of a paper bag offensively. What are you doing going for it in your own territory?
Well, it's like kind of like what Mike McDaniel did at the end of his game in regulation, which is another malpractice. Sometimes these coaches are I don't know if it is analytics or if it's the feel for the game that they have. I mean, you'd like to think that when you have a head coach on the sideline and you're the guy that hired him, whether you're the owner or the general manager, there's a reason why you're hiring him. One is the organization of the overall team, especially on game day, calling plays, picking coordinators. And the other thing, and maybe the most important aspect, is situational football and going by your gut and feeling of the game. So sometimes your quarterback could be struggling, you're going to punt away. Sometimes, you know, you feel like you're unstoppable and you're going to go for it. So Nick Sirianni, I think, was doing some of that. Mike McDaniel, on the other hand, that's a whole nother set of circumstances.
Yeah, we can get to the McDaniel thing. It's just these guys lose their minds. That's 2 weeks in a row for Sirianni. I mean, what he did in Green Bay was insanity, too. Now, for the Lions, look, their 4 losses this year, there's a common theme. A, they've played defenses with a pulse. They've given up 79 pressures. The O-line is simply not the superpower of the team anymore. The interior trio is subpar. My question is this. Boomer, we all know Dan Campbell, or some people affectionately call him Dan Gamble, loves analytics, loves to go for it on fourth down, 0-for-5 on Sunday night. Look, if you're not who you were, you can't do what you used to do. Their defense is playing great. Doesn't Dan Campbell have to evolve for what this team does?
Yes, I would agree with that 100%. And I'd also, you got to understand who you're playing against. So if you are playing against a team that is averaging 30 points a game, I can understand going for it on fourth down all the time. You want to keep the ball away from them. That's part of playing defense against the team that you're playing against. But if you're playing against a struggling offense and you're playing against an offense that, you know, has a lot of three and outs itself or is only scoring about 22 to 24 points per game, you know, a punt is okay. Yes. You know, giving it back to the other team and trying to get a turnover is very helpful, because I always consider if you go for it on fourth down, Mike, think about this. If you go for it on fourth down and you're in the middle of the field, somewhere around the 50-yard line, one way or the other, either side of it, and you don't make it, you know, they call it a turnover on downs for a reason. And it actually acts as a turnover, if you know what I'm talking about.
They are. And look, when you have a good kicker, which the Lions do in Jake Bates, and you pass up a field goal, you're giving up points. Now, I love the analytics and the aggression when things are good, but people understand something too. I don't want people to think that we're just two old men yelling at clouds like the Muppets at the opera. But analytics don't take into account the following. They don't take into account weather. They don't take into account who you're playing. They don't take into account injuries. And to Boomer's point, they don't take into account game script. So to me, there's a line you hit, Boomer, where they become faulty. You have to then strip the data away and go, how does that data apply to my current situation? The Lions are out there in 40-mile-an-hour winds. You got a quarterback wearing baby gloves. You can't protect him. It's a disaster. You know what? I'm going to take the points because Philly can't score. You have to get out of that little 3x5 index card.
Yes, I'm going to attempt to get the points. Got to assume that, you know, we are going to make the field goal. There's no question about it. The other thing I will say, there does need to be a – I know that there are fourth down conversion charts and there are fourth down analytics that we all know. Like, you know, if the Lions have gone for fourth and down, I don't know, 10 different times and they've only made it 4 times, that means there are 6 turnovers that they've actually given to the teams that they're playing against. And somehow that should be a part of the turnover, you know, plus minus thing for a team.
Well, they used to bat about 80% on the fourth downs. Now they're batting about 50%.
Yeah,
they used
defenses
to be money
are getting
on
smarter.
Third downs.
Yeah.
Now they're 27th in the league on third down conversion rate. They've got to adapt. I want to lump a few teams together because I know we're going to do a lot about Kansas City later, but concern index of these 4 teams, scale of 1 to 5, Kansas City, Chargers, Lions, Bucks, varying degrees. But rank them for me. Who are you most concerned about to least concerned about?
Well, at the moment going into this game, I think it's Panic Central in Kansas City. You know, they play the Colts this weekend, so I'm putting them number one. I mean, at the as of 2 weeks ago, they were still the odds-on favorite, on FanDuel at least, to make it to the Super Bowl. And right now, they are on the outside looking in, and they got a tough game against a Colts team coming in this week. So I put them number one.
Okay.
I'm going to put the Lions number two, and the reason I do that is because look at the teams in front of them in their own division. And, you know, San Francisco is a team that's hanging out there that just keeps winning games. And they got Brock Purdy back, and I think that's really going to impact the Lions' chance as a wild card. I don't know if they're going to be able to win their division, but I do know this. Chicago has the toughest remaining schedule. Chicago and Green Bay, by the way, the two toughest remaining schedules. So I definitely put the Lions there. Who are the other teams?
Chargers, Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay is the other team that I worry about. So they're at the Rams this week. If somehow the Panthers can win this week and they lose, the Bucs lose to the Rams, could you – Dave Canales, head coach of the year, right?
Yeah, well, we'll put a statue up of him. Yeah, what are you kidding me? When they build the Luke Kuechly statue, put Dave Canales right next to him. It's ridiculous when you think about it. Like last week – you let Buddy the Elf throw for 448. What are you kidding me? Atlanta, just detonate the franchise. It's absolutely absurd. No, the reason I put the Chargers here, too, it's just the offensive line injuries. Harbaugh's done a fantastic job. We both love Justin Herbert. Boomer, 80 yards passing because they can't protect the kid. It's completely destroyed their season, the loss of Pipkins, Slater, and Joe Alt. I think the Chargers might be on their way to just missing the playoffs entirely.
You know what? Their playoff percentage chances right now are about 60.4%. So they're a little bit better than Pittsburgh's playoff chances at 56.3%. And Pittsburgh is leading the division, AFC North. You take a look at Baltimore, they're right there at 60% too. So, you know, interesting things happening out west, interesting things happening up at the AFC North. And maybe, just maybe, you know, Joe Burrow will have an impact on a couple of these teams as we move forward here.
Give me a quick note on the Bears, too. You brought it up. They've got road trips to Green Bay and Philly coming up. They play the Pack twice. Bears win, but when you play J.J. McCarthy, I got to get careful about how much credit I give you. What would it take for you to start taking them seriously?
Well, the first thing is that the Bears win games late in games. So they come back in the fourth quarter and they win. That's always a great sign for a team. Like I said, the Packers and the Bears have the hardest schedule remaining. Now, they may catch Pittsburgh this week without Aaron Rodgers, and maybe it's Mason Rudolph. Maybe that's better for Pittsburgh. I don't know. We'll see. But for me, the Bears' offense is a top-five offense. There, I said it. They haven't been a top-five offense since they had a running back by the name of Walter Payton in 1977. So that's how pathetic it's been there in Chicago, and this is the influence that Ben Johnson has had on everybody there. And you talked about the interior offensive line of the Lions. Well, maybe you got to think back to free agency and how you build your team. Yep. What did the Bears do? They bought three interior offensive linemen, two guards and a center, and that's one of the reasons why Caleb Williams has only been sacked 16 times thus far this season as opposed to 68 last year.
Split the four big games you got. You got a shot. We'll do the picks next. Tons to do today. It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valeni.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling. Just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
I'll tell you, our commercial breaks are almost as entertaining as the show. I've just learned that Tyler Higbee is the best tight end in Rams history, and it's not close. And Stones is right. Bad. Let's go to the picks.
Picks of the week.
We begin in an impossible spot. Packers-Vikings, you either support the Pack, who support dropping 9 passes as they lay 6.5, versus the single worst quarterback in the NFL in J.J. McCarthy. Boomer, go.
Yeah, it's audition time for J.J. McCarthy for sure. If not him next year, maybe Mac Jones, who's being schooled how to play quarterback in the NFL by Kyle Shanahan out there in San Francisco, maybe takes the same path that Sam Darnold does. I'm going to take the Packers here, keep it simple. You know, they covered last week over the Giants. And listen, I they're still a good team. Their offense has been a little bit shaky, but I would think this game, I just don't see J.J. McCarthy going in to Lambeau, not turning the football over, which will be the difference and why I think the Pack will cover in the number.
I got two games this week that are Greg Giannotti. It's a play against the other guy spot. It ain't got nothing to do with my belief in the Packers. This is a vendetta play against J.J. McCarthy. Packers laid a 6.5. Patriots laying 6.5 as they welcome the Bengals. Time of us sitting down to do this show. Burrow's practicing full go. Old man Joe's been limited. I'm going to assume Burrow's playing, Booms.
Yeah, I would assume it too because it's a home game. You know, if it was an away game, I don't think the Bengals would let him play. But, you know, they want to give their fans something to cheer about. It's not that Joe Flacco's played poorly. He actually has played pretty good. The thing about this game is no Ja'Marr Chase for the Cincinnati Bengals. He won't come back until Thanksgiving night against the Baltimore Ravens. I want to be consistent on WFAN on Friday. I did pick the Patriots, and I was laying 5.5 on Friday, so maybe this went up. I'm going to stay with the Patriots. I just think that Mike Vrabel's got this team humming. They don't lose to teams that they're not supposed to lose to. I know it's a big number. There but I is. Just don't like the Bengals' defense because they give up big numbers.
Little bit of a letdown here for the Pats. We've got frosted tips, high fashion. We got Burrow back in the saddle. And say it with me. No Chase, no problem. We got Yosivas. Come on, Princeton's finest. Bengals, give me the points. Bears laying 2.5 against the Steelers.
Well, we were talking about the Bears in a previous segment and about their offensive improvement. They have been amazing. They're in first place in the NFC North. Think about that. Where's the first? Amazing job by Ben Johnson thus far. I'm not sure who's playing quarterback for the Steelers as we are doing the show right now, whether it be Mason Rudolph or Aaron Rodgers. I think either one will struggle here against this Bears defense that, you know, gets a lot of turnovers. So
yes.
I'm going to go with the Bears. I'm going to take the 2.5 and I'll give it to the Steelers, and I think the Bears cover this number.
I hate them as a favorite. They're hard to trust, but I got to go with you. I can't touch Steelers. Give me the Bears. Oh, boy. Buckle up for this one. Baltimore laying a robust 13.5 points to the Jets.
You know, when I was looking at this game and I was thinking about, you know, being this big of a favorite, you know, what has Baltimore done? Well, Baltimore has won 4 straight games, by the way, and when they are a favorite by 2 touchdowns or more, normally they cover the spread. I mean, John Harbaugh knows how to run up the score on teams that are terrible, and the Jets are terrible. Defensively, they're terrible. I know that there was a talk about Lamar having a little bit of an ankle injury on the injured list. I think he's just playing games with the Jets. I'm gonna lay the points. I'm gonna take the home team, the Baltimore Ravens, who are rolling right now.
Yeah, would never do this in real life, but I'm with you. I can't go with the Jets. Give me Baltimore. All right, Lions laying 10.5. They welcome the Giants in. We do expect Jackson Dart to play. I can't tell you who's going to be his wide receivers, but Lions, Giants, what do you got?
It's the same thing with the Jets and the Ravens. It's one team going in one direction, the other team trying to save their season. Normally when the Lions lose a game and they come back home, they're going to put up a lot of points. I could see the Giants secondary really struggling here against the wide receivers of the Detroit Lions. I think Jared Goff has a much more solid game this time around. I could see them winning this game like 34-14.
If Dexter Lawrence wasn't useless, you could talk me into the Giants because the soft underbelly of that Lions O-line is right in the middle. But Dexter Lawrence is useless. Give me the Lions. It's terrible to say. It's just where we've arrived at, Lions. Jackson, please learn how to slide. I beg you. Seattle laying 13.5. They travel to Tennessee.
Bank, bounce back spot here for the road warriors, Seattle Seahawks. You know, tough game last week at Los Angeles. We talked about Los Angeles in the previous segment where we think the Rams are definitely Super Bowl worthy quality team. I think Seattle's a step behind them, but they are 10 steps ahead of the Titans. I'll lay the 13.5 and look for Sam Darnold to have a huge game here, putting up big numbers.
The problem is we're taking both big favorites. Okay, how about this? Let me ask you a would you rather. I know you've already said Baltimore, and I know you picked Seattle. If I said to you, Boomer, you have to select one of the underdogs in these two grotesque games, Jets or Titans, which one would you pick?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I know, it's a terrible question.
You know, if it's Tyrod Taylor, so I guess I would take the Jets. Just simply, if it were Justin Fields, then I would take the Titans.
Okay, yeah, the Titans are just, you know what's funny? It's not funny, but like, Boomer, we're at a point where I don't know if they could put a number out there big enough that I'd take the Titans. They're that bad. Like, there's no guarantee they get to 10 points. That's
and just by the way, if you and I only pick five games that we wanted to pick, like we do on WFAN in New York on Friday, we wouldn't go through all of this, but we want to touch on every team. We like to talk 100%. About every team. That's why we 100%. Do this.
100%. Yes. Yeah. So, yes, I'll go Seattle, but never would I. You cannot be in the business of point spreads like that. All right. I'm trusting you here. You know what to do with the game I'm about to say. Jags laying 3.5, they go to Arizona. Come on.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes.
And I'm taking the Arizona Cardinals just simply because, I don't know, the Jaguars are really wacky and inconsistent. Remember, Jonathan Gannon is a defensive head coach, so I think he'll keep this game close. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes down to a field goal. Therefore, you know, I will take the home dog Cardinals with the 3.5 points.
Yes, Jacksonville was my play of the week last week. That's great. Throw them in the garbage. You can't trust them. They're going on the road. Short favorite. It doesn't make sense. You don't try to make sense of it. We are all Jacoby Brissett fans. Cards and the points. Raiders laying 3.5. You heard me right. The Raiders are favored in a real football game against the Browns, and we welcome Shedeur Sanders.
And we also welcome in Brian Rascona, the Scones pick of the week. I can't wait to hear this.
Taking the Raiders, boys.
Yes.
Taking the Raiders. Shedeur Sanders was 4-for-16 when he came in last week. I think it stays where it is.
Yes.
I think the Raiders finally get a W. They cover that 3.5. Give me Las Vegas,
all right,
baby.
Hold on for 1 second. Now, you've heard Shador's practicing with the ones this week, right?
I don't care. That means nothing.
You also saw that big third down conversion to Jerry Jeudy last week, didn't you?
Yes, but I'm not going nuts about it.
All right, neither am I, though. I'm taking the Raiders.
Thank
you.
The Raiders
got to win someday, too. I mean, come on.
Listen, when they casually put the Raiders out there north of a field goal, they know what they're doing. Shedeur holds on to the ball forever. He can't process, doesn't have elite arm, doesn't have elite size, doesn't have elite mobility. Oh, man. Brian, I'm so pleased. I'm so happy we're walking together.
I made you Raiders. Proud this week, I could tell.
Oh, baby. Raiders. The Raiders. Eagles laying 3.5. They travel to Dallas.
All right, so let's examine this Micah Parsons trade, huh? I think it's working out pretty good for Dallas right now. I love what Dallas's wide receivers were able to do on Monday night, even after they went out for a nice night out in Vegas. That was the Vegas Raiders, by the way, that they were playing. This a little bit tougher defense, and certainly the addition of Jalen Phillips has solidified the pass rush for the Eagles. However, I do think there's something going on in Dallas that I do like. I think this is a very, very tight game. I want to stay consistent. On Friday, I picked the Cowboys to win this game, and I'll take the home dog and the points.
Step to the plate. Make it your play of the week. Say it like you mean it.
I do say mean it. I really do mean it. I became a Cowboy fan. I've always been a Dak fan, but I can't say that I'm a Cowboy fan. But, you know, Quinnen Williams actually looks like he cares again.
Yeah, he's energized. It's a play of the week for me. No Lane Johnson for the Eagles. Cam Jurgens is hurting. The running game average is less than 4.0 as it is. And the Cowboys are going to sling it. Give me the 3.5 points. My two plays of the week are the Raiders and the Cowboys. That is a twisted duo. Saints laying 1.5 as they take on the unspeakable Atlanta Falcons.
Tyler Shuck chucking it all over the Superdome. I love it. And Tyler played great last week. And, you know, listen, the one thing I will say about Kellen Moore and the Saints is that they've played hard every single week. You know, no, we didn't expect them to win any games this year. And now they're playing with this rookie quarterback. Looks like he's having fun. In come the Falcons, who are a disaster. They have not been inspired at all by Kirk Cousins and his presence. I think the moment they drafted Michael Penix, something happened to that team last year, and it continues to permeate throughout the roster. I wouldn't bet this game if my life depended on it, but I will take the Saints.
Oh, yes, you would. Boomer, the Saints, it's right there for you. Listen, I'm not going to say you know whose name. He's banned from the show this week. We'll just say blank face and capri pants, okay? You know who I'm talking about. Atlanta needs to detonate the entire franchise. For one, the pick you traded to the Rams to move up and get James Pierce, that pick's now going to be a top five pick this year, which would have been the quarterback you would have had to have selected. Penix is now done. That is his third ACL injury. He doesn't even have an ACL. It's actually a piece of linguine. He's done. Cousins is so decrepit. Did you see him on the stretch handoffs?
He
could barely get. Bijan's like, old man, just give me the damn ball. He's like reaching back with a fishing net to go get the football. Boomer, they have to blow the whole thing up, yes or no?
Yes, 100% yes, I understand that. But what I'm saying to you is the reason I'm not interested in betting this game is because you got two losing teams, teams going nowhere, change is going to be made.
The Saints play like winners.
Right, and I will say this for Tyler Shuck. This is his audition now with Kellen Moore over the next 4 or 5 weeks, just like it is for J.J. McCarthy up there in Minnesota.
I love the Saints in this spot. Atlanta is a corpse. Rams laying 7. Desperate Bucks team. Again, Bucky Irving's becoming a mystery here. I don't know what the hell's going on. Every week he's questionable, and every week he doesn't play. No Mike Evans. They're beat up, but desperate. And they play the Rams. Little letdown spot, maybe?
Yeah, I don't think it's a letdown spot. I really don't, Mike. And the reason I say that, and I know the Rams coming off of the win against the Seahawks last week, and you saw what they made Sam Darnold look like, and here comes Baker Mayfield. Both you and I are huge Baker fans. You know, people are saying, do you think he's a Super Bowl quarterback? And I say, yeah, I think he has the 100% DNA to be a Super Bowl quarterback for one. Yes, he does. But the problem he has, and you just alluded to it, all the injuries around him and all the uncertainty around him. So I think I could see the Rams scoring 30 points here. I could see Kyron Williams going off. I think Matthew Stafford continues to play well, and he adds to his MVP credentials. So, yeah, I'm gonna lay the points. I'm going to take the home team, the Rams.
You know, Boomer, I said something on my show in Detroit, and I got in some trouble. I said, if you drop Baker Mayfield on the Lions, you wouldn't be talking about this offensive line. He's just built different, man.
Well, he moves. He moves around. You know,
and he's done more with less.
Yeah.
He has.
But, you know, Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford are kind of like the same type of player. They want to be in the pocket. And, of course, you know, Matthew Stafford has a much stronger arm than Jared Goff, but Jared Goff is really, really high completion percentage normally when things are good around him. So, but Baker's a different animal. He's just a competitive guy.
Right. I just think it's too many points. I'm with you. The Rams win the game, but Baker Mayfield, man, even if he's down 13 late, you know that you got a shot with a cover. Give me the Bucs. I can't believe this is actually a good football game, but we've arrived here in week 12. The Niners lay in 7.5. They welcome in the possible first place Panthers?
It's amazing. This is why we were talking about ramifications Sunday and all the different things that could happen if certain teams win and other teams lose. Tampa loses to the Rams and somehow the Panthers upset the 49ers. I think they're going to I don't think they're going to be able to do that. I think that Kyle Shanahan is dialing up this offense, and whether it's Brock Purdy, which it will be, or Mac Jones, man, they haven't lost the beat. Some guys just know how to – they know how to call offenses. They know how to call plays. They know how to personnel teams to death, and I think that's what the 49ers do here. It's a lot of points. I'm going to take the Panthers and the points, but I do believe the 49ers are going to win the game.
Hey, Scones, let me ask you a question, because I lean where Boomer's going. Are we walking into a trap here when they casually lob 7.5 out there?
Yeah, I think so. I kind of like the Panthers. I got to be honest with you. I like the Panthers plus the 7.5. Yeah, I do. And they're surging. Year. I mean, every week we say Panthers, and we were joking around about them being America's team. They're living it right now,
all
right?
I'll go with it. We'll just do it. Give me the 7.5. I'm worried that number was put out there, and they're going to get a bomb dropped on them, but the hell with it. They stop the run, and maybe they can carve out some yards. Give me the Panthers. All right, we have Chiefs-Colts in our game of the week. We're going to get to that next. And then we have a cavalcade of what we're terming off-field nonsense to sort our way through as Boomer becomes our moral compass. That and more next on Kickoff with Boomer and Valeni.
And Doug.
Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
It's okay not to be perfect with finances. Experian is your big financial friend and here to help. Did you know you can get matched with credit cards on the app? Some cards are labeled no ding decline, which means if you're not approved, they won't hurt your credit scores. Download the Experian app for free today. Applying for no ding decline cards won't hurt your credit scores if you aren't initially approved. Initial approval will result in a hard inquiry, which may impact your credit scores. Experian.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
All right, this is going to be an emotional third segment because we got to talk about Boomer's godson, Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs laying 3.5. They welcome in the Colts. This may be as back against the wall. This is the most pressure-filled, back against the wall regular season spot in Mahomes' career. True or false?
True. He has never lost three games in a row like this. And this is really amazing what's happening to the Chiefs and just how kind of like laissez-faire they've been about it until Travis Kelce this week said, guys got to be stop being selfish. And I'm like, what? What is he talking about? And so there's obviously an awareness that's going on with the Chiefs right now, and their backs are up against the wall. There is no question about it. It is a panic spot. It is a desperation spot. And desperation, you know, requires desperate measures. And I would also say that the thing that I want to see here, it's a prove-it spot for Daniel Jones because, you know, the turnovers all of a sudden are starting to show up again. There weren't those turnovers when they were undefeated. And when you have turnovers, that all of a sudden gives the opposing quarterback opportunities to put up big numbers against your defense. So I think this is going to be rock'em sock'em. I think it's going to be low scoring. I think it's going to I take the under in this game. But I think because this is 3.5 points, I'm going to roll with the Colts. But I think that the Chiefs eke one out by a field goal. I could see a Harrison Butker late game field goal to win it.
Yeah, no, but look, I think the Daniel Jones thing, go back to that for a second, because you could speak to it as a quarterback. Look, the difference between good Daniel Jones and then what we've seen a few times this year, including last week, pressure. When he's got people all around his legs, when he's got the pressure, he turns into Giants, Danny Dimes. But what the Colts were so good at doing, and have been largely this year, I don't want to overreact, run the football, good play action, keep him clean, and he was making throws that I'd never seen before. Now, the question is Spags just going to try to put him in a cage and take him to hell and just blitz him without any regard? That would be my fear here. I mean, if Spags knows he's got you kind of scatterbrained a little bit, he's just going to tighten that, the tourniquet or whatever you want to call it. I mean, how do you see that playing out?
Well, you know, he has 7 giveaways in the last 2 games. So Spags is looking at the defenses and what they've been doing to Daniel Jones. He's got 3 giveaways through the first 8 games of the season. So there's your big discrepancy with the quarterback. And he's been sacked 12 times in the last 2 games, 9 sacks only taken through the first 8 games. So a lot of things going the wrong way for the Colts. So if I'm Shane Steichen, what am I thinking? I'm thinking I got to run the ball first. I got to get Jonathan Taylor in this game. He's got to be the guy that's going to take the pressure off. I got to do 7-man protections. I got to do a lot of play-action passing. I got to keep it simple for my quarterback because, you know, when I've been in Arrowhead and all of a sudden the Chiefs defense does something, that place explodes, and that's where the offense gets its energy. So which Daniel Jones will we see? And this really comes down to what you just pointed out. What does Spagnuolo do to him defensively? And if he's able to garner these turnovers, then I think the Chiefs are going to go on to win this game. But I think Shane Steichen's going to play a little bit tighter to the vest, and it's going to be more about Jonathan Taylor and running the football.
My fear is the scriptwriters. You know this. I am very concerned. Now, last week, the scriptwriters handed out 147 yards of penalty to Denver, and it still wasn't enough.
All right, can we be serious just for once?
I just had to bust your chops.
And everything, and I know we talked about the discrepancy in penalties going into that game last week, but that's how bad it's going for the Chiefs.
Colts in the points, but I'm scared. Like, you know, I am petrified of going against Mahomes and the Writers Guild. All right, Scones, what do you got?
All right, guys, a lot of off-the-field stuff this week, so I figured we should address it. But first, I was thinking about the Cowboys and all their trade moves in the offseason.
I want to talk about Tyler Higbee.
Oh, here we go. The best Ram tight end to ever play for the Rams, by
ever.
The way. Cowboys traded Micah Parsons to the Packers for a 2026 first-round pick and a 2027 first-round pick and 3-time Pro Bowler Kenny Clark. Then traded 2026 sixth-round pick and one of those first-round picks in 2027 and Mazi Smith to the Jets for Quinnen Williams. What was originally thought to be terrible for Cherry Jones to do suddenly doesn't look so bad. What do you guys think?
So right now, given what the Cowboys are trying to do and trying to get back into it and the performance of Quinnen Williams against the Raiders with 1.5 sacks and 5 quarterback hits, and now teaming him with Kenny Clark and trying to plug the middle with Logan Wilson to stop the run, which is what was killing them the most. I got to say, right now, it looks to me like the Cowboys may have won this trade. And it was a big gamble by Jerry Jones. I don't know if they thought that they were going to be able to get Quinnen Williams later on with the second trade that they made. But I got to say right now, the way I look at it and the way that the Packers are playing, I got to say that the Cowboys won this trade at this moment.
Yeah, and look, I don't want any damn flowers. I'm just making a point. I didn't rip it at the start. I actually understood what the hell he was trying to do. Now, look, I couldn't have future casted Quinnen Williams either. But I thought, hey, you're going nowhere with Micah. You may as well get elite value. They got Kenny Clark. And now, look, they've rebuilt the middle of the defense. They still have draft capital to spare. And, no, I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but I feel a lot better about the team now than before. I think, how about this? Both sides got exactly what they wanted. Is that fair? Is it possible in today's sports media we could just say, hey, you know what? B-plus for both parties.
They both won.
Yeah, I just feel like both teams got what they wanted.
And the Cowboys didn't have to pay him that ridiculous contract.
Well, that's the other thing. And by the way, the Cowboys won by a little bit. Somebody has to win. We're not ties here.
Okay,
somebody has
51-49 Cowboys.
Mr. Competitive over here.
Yeah, the Cowboys won.
CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens will keep it with the Cowboys. Bench for the first series against the Raiders for blowing their curfew. There were rumors about Lamb throwing up around 7:30 in the morning. Is this concerning or is discipline handed out and that's that?
It's a new pregame meal way of going about things. You know what? This is the 70s and the 80s returning back to the NFL. The only difference is that these players make $20 million or more a year, which makes it impossible to keep everybody accountable and hold them accountable. But if they're going to play the way that they played against the Raiders, and that's what they did to make it happen, I mean, what do you do if you're Brian Schottenheimer? It's an impossible spot.
I agree with Boomer. I can't believe players would do it in any city, but to do it in Las Vegas is like the most cliche thing of all. It's totally absurd. But I'll credit both guys. They pulled a Lawrence Taylor, minus the crack. I mean, they pulled a Lawrence Taylor. They basically didn't sleep, showed up to the parking lot, and balled out.
Definitely did. All right, guys. Now, what a week for Mike Kafka, okay? First week on the job, Abdul Carter sleeps through a walkthrough. Turns out he wasn't sleeping. He was getting treatment. There were reports he'd been late to meetings under Daboll, and Daboll let it slide. After all that, Carter and Scadaboo attend Monday Night Raw, where Scadaboo gets into a staged brawl with his snapped ankle. And even Kafka supported the fact that Scadaboo was there during that altercation. He knew about the altercation. Are these two prominent rookies not focused on football, or is it overblown?
You had to have at it, Mike.
Why can I leave? This is so depressing. I'm not. How about this? I'm not going to overreact to the Scadaboo thing. I'll just tell you, it's bad optics. No, I don't think he's going to, you know, break his leg in seven pieces. I just don't think it looks good when the team can't win a game. Your leg was on backwards, and you're out here goofing around, and then you see a video online, the guy's drinking energy drinks out of shoes. Cam, get it together. The Carter thing bothers me because, and Boomer, I heard you talk about it earlier this week. I was driving around. You know, you're the same kid. You wanted LT's number, and then you wanted Phil Simms' number, and then it's like you called God and asked for his jersey swap. On one hand, he's fastest time to pressure in the league, and on another, it's not resulting in anything. I don't know, man. I'm just supremely frustrated because the Giants have become a parody of a franchise. And I don't even know what to say anymore.
You know, our colleague here, Tiki Barber, says it all the time. I hate rookies. And I kind of get where he's coming from because rookies just don't understand what they're doing and how it impacts a lot of things that are going on around them. And by showing up at the wrestling thing with a losing record and what happened with Abdul Carter and how he has played, it's just a really bad optics. And I guess it really doesn't matter this day. I mean, because we'll worry about something else that comes down the pipe next. But certainly it's rookies making rookie mistakes and not surprising at all. And unfortunately, Cam Scadaboo also went on a podcast this week and said, oh, by the way, next year the Giants are going to be 12-5. And he has no idea who hell the head coach is even going to be.
Are you concerned about Abdul Carter? That I hate saying, did the Giants make a mistake? Like I was a Mason Graham guy. Okay, I wanted to stop the run. I wanted to put somebody next to Dexter Lawrence. I wasn't mad they took Abdul Carter, but are you a little worried here?
I think he's a little unsized. I think his football IQ is not as good as we thought it was, and that showed itself in the preseason when he got hammered by the tight end at the Jets. He put him on his back, and then I think Armon Membu drove him into the ground. So I am concerned about him, but you know what? He's going to play a lot under Mike Kafka. He, too, is auditioning. He needs to work very hard this offseason on putting on some weight, working on some other moves. He's still quick as a cat. You know, I'm not ready to say he's a failure yet. One thing I will say, though, and I do agree with you, and I think the Cleveland Browns would agree with you, that Mason Graham was a can't-miss player.
Just stud. And yes. I'm biased. I watched him at his time at U of M, and he's just a baller. He's a war daddy. And if you put him next to Dexter, that's kind of like what Philly created with Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. And, yeah, we see how that's worked out. Go ahead, Brad.
Imagine if Abdul Carter was wearing number 56 with a sack and a half through 12 weeks. Imagine if he had that. Imagine. Oh, the fan base would.
Carl Banks' head would have exploded.
Fan base would have put him on a helicopter out of here. All right, Aaron Glenn on the other side. Aaron Glenn on the other side. All right, Aaron Glenn's shtick with the media has taken on a life of its own. When he asked why he decided to start Tyrod Taylor this week, he said, because I wanted to. Is this something that's going to get tiring fast, or is this a confident coach with a vision?
I think it's getting tiring around here for sure. I don't know what the national media sees. I know the local media is getting tired of it. And he's playing tough guy. That's what he's doing. He's playing Bill Parcells. He's trying to set the narrative. And we all know why he put Tyrod Taylor in as quarterback this week against the Ravens, because Justin Fields has been awful. And whoever made that decision to give him $30 million guaranteed, that's the guy that I want answering those questions.
Amen. And you said it best. Bill Parcells is exactly what – this is the playbook. And he played for Parcells. Obviously, Parcells ties to the Jets. This is what he's doing. I don't advise it because this isn't 1998. It's getting a little old to me.
Does Brady Cook take snaps for the Jets?
Oh, God. Oh, dear. He couldn't play at Mizzou. You can't play him here.
Well,
oh, God.
The problem is going to be is that Tyrod Taylor gets hurt. They've got quite a few games left. So we may see Justin Fields back under center at some point in time, and it may end up being Brady Cook because, You just never know how these games are going to end and where they're going to lead to. And I would just say that the propensity for injury for the two quarterbacks in front of Brady Cook may necessitate Brady Cook playing at some point.
I'll run the Wildcat before I play Brady Cook.
Okay.
All right, A.J. Brown. He shoots down a question if he's the same player. He answers it saying, I guess Saquon isn't the same player then. So he also takes a slight shot at Saquon at this question. Is he the same player? Is he just a bonehead or both? Mike?
It's Philly. I can't figure out any of it. It's almost like chaos is their oxygen. I really don't understand it. And you also got stuff coming out this week. There might be some, I don't know, issues or attitude here with Jalen Hurts. Brian, I wish I could give you a better answer, but trying to figure them out, I can't do it. I don't know what the hell's going on.
I'm
going to
keep it simple, and I'm just going to say what the great Al Davis once said, just win, baby. Just win, baby. Just keep winning, and we'll keep talking about you. And you know what?
Sounds
just win
right.
The big games like Jalen Hurts has proven he can.
Well, we'll have plenty more big games, including this Chiefs-Colts one. Guys, we'll do it all over again next week, as we always do. Hell of a good time. We'll see you for Week 13. This has been Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Monster Energy. Everybody knows White Monster, Zero Ultra. That's the OG. It kicked off this whole zero sugar energy drink thing. But Ultra is a whole lineup now. You've got Strawberry Dreams, Blue Hawaiian, Sunrise, and Vice Guava. And they all bring the Monster Energy punch. So if you've been living in the white can, branch out. Ultra's got a flavor for every vibe. And every single one is zero sugar. Tap the banner to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.